From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his exposition of Romans chapter 12 as he brings the next portion of a message called Serving with a Savor of Christ. The theme of the chapter is the Christian's response to the gospel. Paul began by exhorting believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is their reasonable service. Dr. Cairns has been urging believers to serve the Lord, remembering what Christ has done for them. They should seek to show that love to others by the way they live. We're called upon to apply the Bible's teaching to every area of life, whether in the church or among unbelievers. Paul reminds God's people that the gifts they have are bestowed by God's grace, and no one should look down on another who does not have the same gifts. The apostle spent the majority of the epistle explaining the gospel. Now he shows that the gospel should govern every aspect of the believer's life. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The two most important things in our holy religion are the life of faith and the walk of faith. He who shall rightly understand these is not far from being a master in experimental theology, for they are vital points to a Christian. You will never find true faith unattended by true godliness. On the other hand, you will never discover a truly holy life which has not for its root a living faith upon the righteousness of Christ. Woe unto those who seek after the one without the other. There are some who cultivate faith and forget holiness. These may be very high in orthodoxy, but they shall be very deep in condemnation, for they hold the truth in unrighteousness. And there are others who have strained after holiness of life, but have denied the faith, like the Pharisees of old, of whom the Master said they were whitewashed sepulchres. We must have faith, for this is the foundation. We must have holiness of life, for this is the superstructure. Of what service is the mere foundation of a building to a man in a day of tempest? Can he hide himself therein? He wants a house to cover him, as well as a foundation for that house. Even so, we need the superstructure of spiritual life if we would have comfort in the day of doubt. But seek not a holy life without faith, for that would be to erect a house which can afford no permanent shelter, because it has no foundation on a rock. Let faith and life be put together, and like the two abutments of an arch, they will make our piety enduring. Like light and heat streaming from the same sun, they are alike full of blessing. Like the two pillars of the temple, they are for glory and for beauty. They are two streams from the fountain of grace, two lamps lit with holy fire, two olive trees watered by heavenly care. O Lord, give us this day life within, and it will reveal itself without to thy glory.
Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchase thine alone to be.
Jesus, Master, I am thine.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. And we're pleased to make a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of this DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns, free of charge. If you wish, you may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Who made you to differ? Paul is saying here, whatever you have, you've got by gift and by grace. And he's saying, listen, think soberly. That's a beautiful word. It means to have a right mind. Think sanely. If you want to see it in use, you go back to the 5th chapter of Mark's Gospel, where you will find the demoniac of Gadara. After he met with the Lord Jesus, he was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's what Paul's talking about here. He says, this is you, this is a Christian in his right mind. And how do you think soberly? How do you think sanely? How do you keep your thoughts right? How do you think charitably, as I was talking about a minute or two back? How do you do that? Notice how he puts it. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure or the portion of faith. Now, I want you to get something. This is a big subject that I'm only just going to mention and skip over it. People have bought into the devil's lie. I cannot think very well because I'm not educated. I can't think very well. I never learned theology. I can't think very well because I don't have much brain power. Let me tell you, for the thoughts that are most important, it is not the intellect that most produces sane Christian thinking. It is faith. And I want you to see that. Now, of course, God can use intellect, and I do not despise it. I thank God for men whom he has raised up with the gift of gigantic intellect. When I read a John Calvin, I am delighted that God raised such a man in the church. We owe a lot under God. When I read Paul, I thank God for this consecrated intellect. But what Paul is saying is this, and you've only got to look around the scientific community today to prove it. You know, the greatest fools in the world are the greatest intellects. Absolute fools. We have men who know every law of the physical sciences, or apparently so. They have it all at their fingertips. They can lose you in a welter of big words. You haven't a clue what they're talking about. They are so wonderfully adept in human knowledge. They have gigantic intellects, but they're fools. They haven't thought a sane thought in their lives. Because every thought is posited on the denial of God. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see, it's faith. It's believing the gospel that produces great thinking. Sane thinking. Right thinking. And if God has given you great intellect, make sure that intellect is subject to the faith of the gospel. And if God hasn't given you great intellect, thank God you can still think through the gospel. Never forget, both Hodge and Alexander, great Princeton theologians, Lord Kelvin, one of the greatest men of science Britain ever produced. One of the pioneers in working out the laws of thermodynamics, the most fundamental of all physical laws. They all agreed in this in one way or another, saying, the greatest thing I have ever known, the greatest truth I have ever discovered, is that God loves me. Christ died for me. And I am saved by faith in him. That's sane thinking by the faith of the gospel. Now, Paul is working out the details in Romans. I'm not going to go through all these verses, but you'll see he talks about prophecy. That's not only foretelling the future, but it's preaching. It's foretelling. Forthtelling, should I say. And it must be scriptural. You'll see that prophecy must be according to the proportion of faith. The word proportion is the word analogy. The word faith has the definite article in front of it. It's according to the analogy of the faith. And let me cut to the quick here. There's a lot of discussion about this. But I think incontrovertibly what Paul is saying is, when I get up to preach, when I get up to interpret this Bible, when anybody gets up to interpret this Bible, you interpret it according to the analogy of the faith. In other words, you are not interpreting any part of Scripture correctly if you interpret it to contradict the general teaching of Scripture on the same subject. There are people who do that all the time. They fasten some obscure statement. They twist it according to their own twisted imagination. And they force upon it a meaning that is an absolutely clear contravention of the general tenor of the teaching of Scripture on that subject. Paul is saying there is an analogy of the faith. There is a broad principle of truth laid down, subject by subject, in the Word of God. And for you to interpret any particular text or passage against the general trend of Scripture, the general meaning of Scripture, is a misinterpretation. You prophesy according to the analogy of the faith. In other words, the preaching must be scriptural. Then he goes on to ministry in various aspects. And the ministry in all its aspects must be sincere. The key to it all in verse 9 is love. Let love be without dissimulation. In other words, it's got to be more than an act. The word without dissimulation simply means without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Stop acting like you love God's people and start really loving them. That's what he's saying. Stop talking about loving God's people. Stop criticizing others for not loving God's people. But go and love them yourself. Let love be without dissimulation. You remember how John put it in 1 John 3:18? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So love must be true. It also must be tender. And that's what verses 10 through 13 are all about. This love must affect every aspect of our relationship with the saints. Be kindly affectioned one to another. What he's saying, and I'll go down these verses very quickly. You follow them in your Bible. What he's saying, as regards brotherly love, be family affectioned. Treat the church as your family. As regards honor and respect, let each take the lead. That's what he's saying. In honor preferring one another, you would think that meant you have to be humble. Let somebody else have more honor than you. Now that's good, that's true, but that's not what Paul was saying. Paul is saying, in regard to this matter of honor or respect, let each take the lead. What does that mean? It means you go before to give an example and set a standard. If you want to be respected, then show respect. If you want to be honored, be honorable and show honor. As regards diligence, be not slothful. As regards your attitude, be fervent. As regards the Lord, be His slave. As regards hope, rejoice in the prospects that the Lord has set before you. As regards tribulation, which comes to us all, endure it. As regards prayer, continue steadfastly in it. As regards the needs of the saints, be generous. As regards hospitality, pursue it. That is, seek the opportunity to practice it. Now, I've run through those very quickly. But you know, in those things from verse 10 through verse 13, Paul is giving you an encapsulated, abbreviated, but very concentrated lesson in how the body of Christ is intended to operate. Now let me caution you. Every Christian should be a working part of a working body. Number two, when you are a working part of that working body, keep your part as healthy as you can by faith in Christ and communion with Him. Number three, make sure you are continuing to contribute your share to the working of the whole body. Number four, vitally important, be very, 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 and add as many varies as you can get in before midnight. Careful about anything that cuts you off and isolates you from the working body of Christ. We're not individuals anymore. How do we respond to the gospel? Oh, we're separated unto God. We're separated from the world. But we yield ourselves in service among the saints. And then perhaps the most difficult of all, and this is the latter part of the chapter, from verse 14 onwards, you yield yourself as a savor of Christ among sinners. And this is the height, I think, of selflessness and yieldedness to Christ. You know, sinners are not, they're often not easy to live with. They're not easy to work with. Some of you are finding this in the workplace. Their language is rotten. There's backstabbing. There's every vile and filthy scheme going on. The workplace is not an easy place for a Christian. Sinners may persecute you. They may curse you. May do evil against you. They may fight with you. But Paul commands that when you're faced with such things, you should allow the gospel to govern your reaction. Now, we all know the natural reaction of the flesh. And again, I can speak from experience here. Anybody who's Irish, North or South, if you want an even worse example of this than I, talk to Aaron Dunlop, for he's very much more carnal than this. But I suspect the Irish aren't the only ones. You talk about somebody getting their temper up, you get their Irish up. Well, it's true, we have it. The red-headed ones are the worst, but we have it. Yeah, but we're not the only ones that have it. We all know that reaction of the flesh. You hit me and I'm going to hit you back. You hurt me and I'm going to hurt you worse. I knew a man spent 25 years of his life. This was a professing Christian. Got into a backslidden, bitter state. 25 years of his life ruined. Waiting for the day when he could get his own back. Ruined his life, and unless God has intervened in the meantime, damned his family, for they never saw any Christ in that home. Paul is saying here, listen, our reaction has got to be different. He's saying you live by the gospel. If you believe the gospel, then whatever sinners do, there is a way for you to react to them. His words reflect those of Christ himself. When in Matthew 5, 44 and 45, he said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I'm going to let you into a secret. And I've had to prove this myself. When you get bitter against somebody, be he saved or unsaved, you get bitter against somebody, it starts to eat you up, destroys your own fellowship with God. It stops you laboring in the body of Christ the way you ought to labor. And you may say, well, I can't help it. I've been there. I know that feeling. But I want to tell you an invariable answer. When you start praying for the people who have despitefully used you, your bitterness melts like snow before 100-degree rays of sunshine. Can't live. You cannot be bitter against people that you're praying for. You ever stop and think of that?
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.